quietest gavel in the world.
I call this meeting the House Tribal Affairs Committee to order. The time is 3:07 p.m. Wednesday, March 8th, 2023, in Capitol Room 106. Members present are Representative Armstrong, Representative Dibert, Representative Allard, Representative Vance, and myself, McCormick, Chair. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence any of your cell phones or any other devices that make a lot of loud noise, because it'll be very embarrassing if that goes off during this meeting, and I will make fun of you. So, today we have one item on the Before we begin, I would like to thank Suniva St. Clair, the House Tribal Affairs Committee Secretary from Records, and Sydney Truitt from the Juneau LIO for staffing the committee today. Today we have one item on the agenda, House Bill 26 by Representative Story. Would Representative Story and her staff, Miranda Worrell, please come forward, put yourself on the record, and give us a summary of your legislation.
Thank you, Chair McCormick and members of the Special Committee, House Tribal Affairs. For the record, I am Rep. Andy Story, representing District 3 of the Northern Juneau-Mendenhall Valley and Upper Lynn Canal region of Southeast, which is Haines, Gustavus, Clequan, and Skagway, and which serves the Occoquan and the Jishkaquan and the Jishkutquan. The bill before you, renaming the Alaska Native Language Preservation Advisory Council to the Council for Alaska Native Languages, came from the desire of the Council to do two things which must be changed in statute: shorten the name of the Council and expand its membership. The Council provides recommendations and advice to both the Governor and the Legislature on programs, policies, and projects, and to network and advocate in support of the Council's mission. The mission is to advocate for the survival and revitalization of Alaska Native languages through collaboration and sharing for all. I have been privileged to serve on the Council, and we are fortunate to have all the Council members giving their time and their hard work to this. The Council was created in the second session of the 27th Legislature. The governor appointed five voting members who are professional language experts and who represent diverse regions of the state. Additionally, there are two non-voting members, one member of the Senate, which is Senator Olson, who was appointed by the Senate president, and one member of the House, which was appointed by the Speaker, and I have been fortunate to serve as that non-voting member from the House to the Council. And this is how the information about the changes that the Council wanted came to me to put this bill forward. And again, it's simple changes, but they're very meaningful. The first items in the name change simplifies the name from the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council to the Council for Alaska Native Languages. This reflects the goal of sustaining and revigorating Alaska Native languages, a concept that goes beyond preservation. The second change requested is to add two new members, going from five voting members to seven. Alaska has over 23 distinct languages, and to be able to be more inclusive of more languages, the Council feels two more members would help capture a greater perspective. Adding members allows for greater language representation on the Council and expands the involvement to reach other regions of the state. I urge this committee to pass this legislation requested from the Council. And I have my staff here, Miranda Worrell, who is able to walk you through the contents of your bill packet, including the fiscal notes, and introduce our invited guests from the Council. Gunnish Cheesh.
Thank you, Chair McCormick and members of the committee. For the record, Kugwaih Huqat Duasak. My name is Kugwaih Miranda Worrell, staff to Rep Story. So today I'll be reviewing the sectional analysis, additional documents, and fiscal note for the committee. HB 26 amends Alaska Statute 4433520 subsection A to simplify and change the name of the council from the Alaska Native Preservation and Advisory Council to Council for Alaska Native Languages. It also amends the same statute subsection C by changing voting members from 5 to 7. Included in the bill packet is the 2022 biennial report to the governor and Alaska legislature, which provides an overview of the council and their recommendations. HB 26 also has a $10,000 fiscal note from the Department of Community, Commerce, and Economic Development. This budget covers 2 trips per year to meet in person for the additional members, which is provided in statute. And so we've got our invited testifiers, Kune Lance Twitchell, who's here with us in person, who's the current chair of the council and a longtime Indigenous language advocate. Also calling in is Yayu Bernadette Alvana Stimple from the council. We are all happy to take questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Story and Ms. Worrell. Do any of the members have a question? Representative Vance.
Thank you, through the chair. I do have a couple of questions, not on the wording that is changed, but some of the present wording. And just to help me understand, on line 8, it talks about the purpose of recommending the establishment or reorganization of programs. Can you speak to the word reorganization and why that is necessary? Because I'm not understanding why programs would need reorganized at this point, since the council has been going for several years.
Before you answer that, I would just like to reflect for the record, we've been joined by Representative Putkaduk at 3:14 p.m. Thank you.
Through the chair, thank you for that question. I feel that the person best able to answer that question would be our invited testifiers, because they have been working within the statute language and would best know how to answer that.
Follow up before we go to that, Mr. Chair.
Please.
The next question, and this may be for them as well, is on section 2, where it talks about the voting members are professional language experts. And do we have that definition in the statute? Because I know recently in addressing our the need for teachers of some of the large variety of native languages, there's been a certificate that an individual can obtain to be able to teach. So does that adjustment allowing for maybe elders in the community who may not be a certified teacher, is that provision included in this definition of professional language experts when it comes to this council?
Through the chair, thank you for that question. I know that for the alternative certification for the language speaker, that needs to be approved by a local school board. So whatever they feel, their recommendations, their language speaker, that's how they know it from the community. So I don't know if there is an official definition, and I do not know for this either. So that is a very good question, and we will look into that.
Thank you.
Representative Allard.
I think it's a great idea. I think going from 5 to 7 is outstanding. One of my questions is, you said 7 so that they could represent a more diversity, more regions. Could you tell me where the 5 currently represent as far as what they are covering perhaps and what the 7 are looking at, how we're going to divide it up? So are you going to say, yeah, can you help me out?
Through the chair.
Thank you, Representative Story.
Yeah, thank you very much, Representative Allard. Again, I think that that would be best described by our invited testifiers. So I think maybe we should move to them.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry, I forgot to say through the chair. I apologize.
No offense taken. Well, thank you. We will now hear from, unless there's another question. No? Okay. We will now turn to invited testimony on House Bill 26. from Kaune Lance Twitchell. Mr. Twitchell, would you please come forward, put yourself on the record, and begin your testimony? Thank you for being here this afternoon.
Ashish, my name is Kaune Lance Twitchell. I do chair the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council. I'm a professor of Alaska Native Languages at the University of Alaska Southeast, but I only represent myself here today, and I appreciate this time through the chair. Alaska is home to 23 known indigenous languages, and according to recent research by the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council, none of them are safe. Since 2014, these have been official languages of Alaska, and this bill is supportive of language revitalization and reclamation work. Preservation is a term that is important to the work that we do, but it only involves documenting the language so we can hold on to the knowledge and ability of current speakers. Revitalization is also what we do, which involves, in my mind, two things. One, protecting the speakers that you have while creating new ones, and two, ensuring that our languages are languages of power and use. Reclamation is also what we do, which is making sure that our languages are used in a wide variety of social and physical spaces. Our languages were actively banished by educators, political leaders, religious leaders, and the general public. Because of the active suppression and genocide of our languages, we face an unnecessary and often silent death march. I encourage this panel to support this bill so we, the council, can have a name more fitting for the diverse range of work that we are doing. We also need additional representation on our council. 23 languages requires more than 5 voting members. I would also recommend revising the official list of languages, which I believe is in Statute 4412.310, to include 3 languages that were unintentionally omitted in 2016 when we made them co-official languages of Alaska. I do have a list for the committee, which includes the names of the languages which are in, both how they would spell them in their languages and then how we would spell them kind of for the general public. So I would ask that this be considered. Also, it shows, by our estimates, the current number of speakers and the level of endangerment going from blue to red, and red being what we would call dormant. We don't like the word extinct because they could come back. We have seen indigenous languages come from zero speakers to now having speakers and building language programs. And then I would also just mention, I want to make sure that indigenous languages are a high priority for the state of Alaska. So a state of emergency was declared several years ago by the governor and the legislature, and I don't know if significant action has been taken since that time. So with the time that we have here today, I would highly recommend that this body carefully read the priorities that are given every 2 years by the council, which do include potentially standardizing indigenous languages in Alaska public education, and also creating official pathways for Alaska Native Language teacher certification. I would also add that all teachers in Alaska should have knowledge of Alaska Native languages if they're going to teach in Alaska, in particular in public schools. So I'm very thankful for the opportunity to visit with you folks today. When the council was established, I would also say that one of the first moves before the council did anything was that the budget was cut in half. And so that is a problem when we say these things are a priority, but then they say, okay, you can have 2 staff members. We'll actually take care of all of Alaska Native languages with a single staff member. So these are probably things that we should analyze, but this bill here in particular looks at the name and the membership. To answer the question that was previously posed, if you look at the map of Alaska Native languages, right in the center is, I believe, where we're missing most of our representation. So our Dene languages, our interior languages, are not well represented on the council. We do have council members who are ethnically related to many of these, like Dene'ina, But we need folks who are actively working in the languages. And then as far as what we would consider a language expert, it does not have to do with whether or not you're a certified teacher. It has to do whether or not you are actively teaching and documenting the language and are doing work in language advocacy statewide. Ashish.
Thank you, Mr. Twitchell, for your testimony. Before opening up the floor for questions, I did want to note we were joined briefly by Senator Tobin. I neglected to mention that, but for the record, I wanted to have that on there. But we will now open the floor for questions. Does anyone have any questions? Representative Divert.
Dointa, my name is Maxine Divert. My native name is Nishtenlo, which means a good runner, strong runner, given to me by my grandmother on my father's side. So it's an honor to hear you speak. It's great to learn about this council, and like I agree with my fellow representative who said this is a great idea. My family is from the interior, and it's nice to see we are Khoikhoi language, and there's 150 speakers, and my dad, I know, is one of the last fluent speakers. And he, you know, he hasn't spoken it for many years, so it's still like recalling words and phrases. He has to really think back. So it's just, and when I was elected to this position, he says, okay, you're in a very important position now. You have to learn to introduce yourself in your native language. So I'm working on that. So this is a great idea. Thanks.
Ashish. Through the chair, it does bring up a thought, which was the council does see the need to do a more substantial analysis of the health of our languages. I don't think we have the current staff to do that, but I do believe we could pursue partnerships to do that. So this is kind of word of mouth. We're talking with folks who are out there. They are rough estimates only, but we do feel like it's probably the most accurate information we have at this time.
Thank you. Representative Allard?
I think I'm going to wait for Representative Story when she comes back up, but thank you.
Representative Vance?
Thank you. Through the chair, I had previously asked a question on one of the words in the bill, not any of the words being changed, but talking about the establishment or reorganization of programs to support the preservation, restoration, and revitalization. And since you chair the council, do you know the reasoning for the word reorganization or the need to still have that language in? I'm one of those word nerds when it comes to policy. You want to make sure that everything counts the way that we intend it to. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I was not there through the chair when the bill was crafted. I do believe that's going back to the initial formation of the council. But I think what it recognizes is sometimes you need new programs for Indigenous language revitalization, and sometimes you need to look at existing programs and try to support their reformation. And sometimes the programs go dormant for a while, so you might be looking at trying to bring them back from what they were. So my estimation would be that wording is to honor programs that do exist, but that might need some assistance in their approach and their structure.
Follow up?
Please.
A different question. Can you help me understand the activity of the council is, and how you interface with the education communities as a whole? Because Representative Allard and I think probably everybody else here is that we think this is a great idea. And I'm glad that you mentioned the dormant languages, because if you look globally, Hebrew was dormant for a very long time. And as a nation, they chose to implement that in their education system. And now Hebrew is very, very fluent among the community because they started teaching it in their schools. And what was something that was not spoken for an extended period of time is now very much real and alive and a part of the nation and the world. So I believe that that can happen again. So what is the council doing along those lines with education and the different communities to be able to make sure that we don't lose, like Representative Dibert's father has, he's rich in that knowledge. How are we making sure we don't lose that?
Yes. Ms. Cheech, through the chair. That's a great question. One, I would say, Joshua Fishman is a scholar worth studying. He was in the Hebrew language revitalization movement and then began to think what we're doing should be replicated all around the world. There's about 7,000 languages known in the world. I think on the current trajectory, 100 years from now, we might have 50 languages that are surviving. And so in Alaska, unless things dramatically change, I think we'll have two or three languages that can survive the next 100 years. So I guess what the council does is, I think, what five volunteers and one employee can do, which is to analyze what is going on in the state of Alaska, have public meetings and try and widely promote those meetings for folks to attend, to visit with us, to share their ideas. We usually host a couple of different listening sessions during First Alaskan Institute's Youth and Elders Conference and the Alaska Federation of Natives annual conference, so that we can just try and hear what the needs are in the state of Alaska. And then we formulate every 2 years a recommendation to the governor and the legislature on what we feel would be the most substantial moves that could be made at a legislative level to create shift. Because if we don't create substantial shift, then we will be the ones who are in charge when these languages were lost. And so we lose probably one every 5 to 10 years at this rate. They go dormant, not to say that they couldn't come back, but I think we also need to recognize that what we have right now is a guaranteed path of language destruction, and we can have something different. But we do work with educators to talk about what could education look like that is naturally inclusive, because now I think natural omission is what education operates as right now. And so the majority of schools in Alaska quite likely do not have an Indigenous language program, and there's probably no requirement to study an Indigenous language at any level. I know of one community in Alaska where you need to study an Alaska Native language in order to graduate high school, and I do think that's something we should take under consideration as far as creating shift, is if we say, this is everybody's situation. All of these languages have been here for over 10,000 years. Who are we to say like 100 years and they're going to be gone? And so as far as what we do is primarily we focus on the creation of this document. And then we try to, and what we should probably do is increase our efforts to make sure that everybody in this building knows this document and has read every word that's in here, because these are important things. I think it's easy to overlook the status and the activities of Alaska's native languages and just assume that someone is taking care of it. And so part of our role is to advocate, to educate, to listen to educators, to look at educational structures, to work with folks in the Department of Education and Early Development and say, what kind of shifts? And some of these might be seismic shifts. If we said, in Alaska, every high school graduate takes one semester of an Alaska Native language, I think that would be an earthquake. But then after a while, it would be like, we're Alaskans. So we'd be like, oh yeah, we remember that little earthquake. We're fine now. And so I think it would create a new reality where there's a lot more hope than there is now.
One more question. I won't hog it.
Go ahead.
Please, Representative Vance, go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to fully grasp this. Has the council given recommendations for families, because we know that the language spoken at home is what's going to stick. And the earlier you start, the better grasp there is on any language. And I know that culturally there was a time that most of our elders were encouraged to not speak their language. Has there been a shift away from that mindset to to really encourage the languages spoken at home so it's not just on an academic level? Has the council really addressed this and created that, bridge that gap with families?
Yes, thank you. Through the, also through the chair. I guess I would start with a very short story. If you sort of go down the hill here and you look across towards Douglas, right near the hockey rink or the ice skating rink, I guess it is, you would see a little school building that used to be called the Mayflower School and is now something completely different. It's a Montessori school. There was an elder named Shikshani March Dudson that I used to do a lot of work with who lived here and passed away about 5 years ago. And she told me what happened to her, and I encouraged her under the guidance of Dr. Michael Krause to let me document her story as she told it in Tlingit. Her first day of school as a five-year-old girl, her older sister said, "You cannot speak your language. You cannot speak Tlingit at the school." And she just thought about it and went there. And she was, when she passed away a few years ago, she was 92 years old. So when she was a child, all the children spoke the Tlingit language. All the Tlingit children spoke the Tlingit language. And so she went there and saw her friends and was just speaking Tlingit and not even thinking about it. So if you have a five-year-old who speaks any language, tell them not to speak that language all day. It's just not going to work. And the teacher called her up in front of the class, picked her up by her hair, shook her violently and said, "I will hit you in the face if you keep speaking that language." Dropped her. She fell on the floor. Her head hurt. Her body hurt. She was shocked, scared, embarrassed. She walked to get her stuff, left, cried, walking the whole way home. And then the rest of the story is about her mother trying to keep her father from killing that teacher for doing that to their child. And so, like, the level of suppression is unbelievable. It's very difficult. It's something we probably underanalyze. But we look at, I studied in Hawaii at Kahakuʻula o Ke Ilikilani, the College of Hawaiian Languages. And Larry Kimura, who was one of the leaders of their language reclamation movement, he says, "Let the children be the yeast. If you can get those children talking, it eases that trauma, it eases that nervousness, and people will want to talk." So a lot of places in Alaska and among the Tlingit, we have tried to model what they've done over there in Hawaii and start language nests and start early education programs. And we're trying to encourage Alaska to really think about what can education be. It doesn't have to be just one model. So you could have language medium schools, you could have dual language schools, you can have language immersion programs, and you can have cultural immersion programs. And in throughout Alaska, we have all of those things. But as you get closer to increased language use, so language medium means you teach through the language, you don't teach about it. You have very few programs, just the school in Bethel, and then some language nests, one in Fairbanks, one in Kodiak, one here, and probably several throughout the state. So one thing that we have suggested is that Alaska form an Alaska Native Language Schools Consortium, which would essentially be a statewide school board that is for Alaska Native Language Schools and programs, so that we can get a little bit more unity on what we're trying to do. Because if you're trying to create an Alaska Native Language School, that's a lot different than what a lot of other folks are doing. And under the current systems, you have to often compete with existing districts and programs in order to get off the ground. And then you become dependent on soft money. And so we're trying to figure out ways to move that forward and think education is the answer, even though education was one of the vehicles of destruction. If you can reform it and create pathways there, then you'll bring the languages into the home. Because if it's in the home, it's safe. But then you also have to sort of look at what the council has also recommended is a number of listening sessions and just trying to figure out, like, how do we get people to begin to recover from the levels of trauma that are involved with cultural and linguistic genocide? And I don't think we've had those conversations yet at a large enough level. They are happening, but they're in very small groups who are trying to figure out how to turn the tide. And I do believe we can.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Armstrong.
Thank you, through the chair. I am taking a peek at the summary of recommendations to the governor and the legislature, and I was just wondering if you could walk us through some of the recommendations in the report.
Yes, I do not have it in run some.
I can give you my copy.
Okay, thank you. I should have brought it. Ganesh, through the chair. So we did try to think about how we arrange our priorities so that we don't overwhelm people with a huge list of things that might seem impossible. And so as we look at what we're trying to do with our languages, so priority number one is to prioritize the health and future of Alaska Native languages with a commitment to language equity and restoration of status and use. And under there, the recommendations we have for that priority is to declare an annual Alaska Native Languages Day, to reconfirm the linguistic state of emergency that was declared in 2018, to restore funding to the council so that we can have a second position and we can have increased council travel so we can go to different regions in Alaska and have closer listening sessions rather than all virtual listening sessions. Priority number two, recognize that Alaska Native people have a right to be educated in Alaska Native languages, forge pathways to education through Alaska Native languages, and decolonize education throughout Alaska. So our recommendations here, develop methods of certifying and licensing Alaska Native teachers without considering them alternative certifications or licensures. Establish an Alaska Native Language Schools Consortium. Develop and include Alaska Native languages in state standards of education. Increase Alaska Native language instruction at the University of Alaska and establish zero-credit, zero-dollar methods for Alaskans to learn Alaska Native languages without cost. We have implemented that at the University of Alaska Southeast. Anybody can study Tlingit, Haida, or Tsimshian languages without having to pay any money. Promote, establish, and increase Alaska Native language immersion programs in all regions. Fund an annual statewide conference for Alaska Native language teachers. Clarify and strengthen Alaska Statute 1430-420. Priority number three is to increase the use of Alaska Native languages and normalize Alaska Native languages in physical and social spaces. The recommendations under this priority is to restore Alaska Native place names, direct state, federal, and municipal offices to include local Alaska Native languages and signage within facilities. Develop Alaska Native languages in the workplace documents within each Alaska Native language for distribution to local organizations, encouraging an increased presence of Alaska Native languages. And then to increase the presence of Alaska Native languages within public media. Priority number four is to address historical language suppression and intergenerational trauma. The recommendations here to survey the health of Alaska Native languages and develop methods to track the state of Alaska Native languages to raise awareness of language health and to help inform policy and planning. To initiate a series of statewide listening sessions to document the historical traumas in relation to Alaska Native languages, offer an apology for historical Alaska Native language suppression, and commit to overcoming historical traumas of forced assimilation as an entire state. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions? No? Well, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Twitchell, and also just for the critical work that you're doing and all the knowledge of that that you shared with us today. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much. We will now turn to additional invited testimony on HB 22 from Yayuk Bernadette Alvana Stimple, who joins us via teleconference. Miss Alvana Stimple, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Hello, my name is Yayuk Nitya. I am calling from Nome, Alaska. My English name is Bernadette, and my last name is Alvana Stimple. I am working at Corp Incorporated, our nonprofit organization for the Benefit Region. I'm the Eskimo Heritage Program Director. Do I go ahead with my testimony?
Please go right ahead. I apologize.
Okay. What I wanted to highlight here is the part from section one, Alaska Native Language Preservation Advisory Council is established in the department for the purpose of recommending establishment or organization of programs to support the preservation, restoration, and revitalization of Alaska Native languages. And I wanted to focus on those three important words, preservation, restoration, and revitalization, and what they mean in language work. I have been Alaska Native educator for 23 years working at non-public schools, and I began my education career as an Inupiat language and culture teacher, and later on I got into English as a second language because I knew in 2 years' time I would be teaching my own language as a second language to children. And I remember it as a kindergartner not knowing any English. My mother would walk me to school, but she would not enter the school building because she did not speak in English. She didn't want to be asked any questions about me in a language that she couldn't understand. She couldn't respond. So that was how I learned English. First, learn the language. Second, in a school, you have to learn in that different language. And it was very, very tough and difficult, but children learn quick. And I wanted to make sure that I worked with students that came from a home of traditional business activities and with the language that goes with it, and the ceremonies and the special naming and all the activities that happens in the home and in the community. So that's how I got into that profession of second language learning in children, because I know exactly how they felt, how they feel when they go into a building or exploring to them. So on the or a new name, Council for Alaska Native Language, what does it mean? Well, for preservation, it's the archive. That means working in archives for Native languages were recorded from years past. There are large and small archival repositories where new generations can be supported to acquire and learn their respective languages. So, because I happen to work in a small archive here at Flora, I was hired on to do language revitalization work for the region. Though we have three different languages here. That's Yupik, North Island Yupik, otherwise known as Siberian Yupik, and the diverse dialects of Inupiat. And it also means working with media. There are resources online and the internet for learners and researchers to find information to develop learning material. And people share what they have learned, what works for their communities and learning institutions. And that would be that part of re-establishing the program to include teaching our languages.
And then, Ms. Elvana Stemfel, the LIO has requested if you have speakerphone off, or excuse me, if you have speakerphone on, if you could please turn that off. Please, I apologize to interrupt, but if you could do that and then continue your testimony. Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. I had to move to my landline because I got left, so I'm on my cell phone now. Hopefully my high cheekbones won't hang me up. So the last part of the preservation piece is the community wellness. Indigenous people work towards wellness for adults and learn what was lost from their past treatments of knowing how to speak a home language at schools and churches. So this caused a post-traumatic stress disorder for the next generations. From that beginning, there are elders now or some have passed on. So to break this trauma, Indigenous people have to work hard on cultural wellness in arts and ceremonies to revitalize what was lost. Because I have watched literally where I work before pandemic. When young people came in to search for information on traditional dancing, or listen to their grandparents or great-grandparents that were interviewed in Inupiaq, Yupik, or St. Lawrence Island, Yupik, and they literally find themselves, their cultural activities are suddenly explained when they start learning the language, because we have meaning behind our activities. And number two, the restoration claim in restoring our native languages. We are reclaiming who we are and where we come from. We have come from thousands of years of not only surviving harsh environments, but also thriving in that very environment. Our language comes from our land, sea, and resources in the air. And the second part of that is rebirth and renaissance. This is the time, today, right now, for a revival of all of our Alaska Native languages. The Language Council works towards to this, where our languages are normalized in the whole state. When I left the public school system here in Nome, I started working with the Alaska Mentoring Project. And I traveled to 5 villages every month. I was rarely home, but I made sure I was home on the weekends. Any place I was at, terminals waiting for small airplanes, I didn't hear a native language. But maybe at Stebbins and St. Michael was Yupik. And I didn't hear it in other terminals where I traveled. The only place I heard Yupik was the Bering Air terminal at Kotzebue. The village folks are waiting for their flights. And every once in a while, I could hear them speaking in Yupik, and I would try to itch over and listen to what they're saying, mainly because we don't hear that anymore in public places. And I just returned from a trip from Iqaluit Nunavut in Canada. You could be anywhere in that town and listen to their language. That no longer exists where I live. And then for the revitalization part in A, build on native identity. When a young person learns in a language, they are forming an indigenous identity. And no, this is not learning the language. It's learning in the language, which gives a high cultural identity of where they come from and how they live. And B, moving forward, the ultimate result is for the cultural wellness and being able to speak from a native perspective for any study, whatever they get into. I have watched young people in Hawaii at Hilo School that Hune talked about earlier, and learned from a young man that he is a speaker for his school, as we were welcomed into his school, that their identity came from that pool. Immediately I thought, well, what identity did I give to my students when I was teaching? Did I do that? And sadly in my mind I said, no, I didn't. Maybe with what little words I could share in the time that I had, because I used to have my students have a password every day to go home, and it was an Inupiaq word. And some of the students did go home with that little word, and the grandparents are wondering, where did you hear that? Because they want to hear more. But we never had time during a regular classroom day for that. So for the section 2, number 4, 7 voting members, Alaska needs to hear from a wider community of Alaska Native language experts and advocates of language warriors. This makes for a stronger network of language work with the same perspective of revitalizing indigenous languages in Alaska. So this completes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Alvina Stemfel. Does anyone have any questions? No. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Alvina Stemfel, for your presentation. Seeing that we have no questions, I guess I will invite back up Representative Story and Ms. Worrell. As I understand, some of our committee members might have some questions. Thank you, Mr. Twitchell.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. I just wanted to say that we have the report up on the screen that you should have had. This is the report they do every other year, the council, for us. And on page 7 through 9 are the recommendations that Professor Twitchell was reading from. And I think they're worth examining and looking at them further. Obviously, the bill today is before you is about the change in the name and adding council members. And I feel an amendment coming to add 3 languages that were not officially included. But I think it's also a time where I know this was all sent to us in our boxes as we get many reports. And I think it's really a good time to just, I know we have a lot of free reading time, but it is a time to really look at the report, and there's much to learn from it. One of the things that the letter from the council to the governor and us as legislators really just hit me about the second paragraph of the loss of the number of Indigenous elders to the COVID-19 pandemic language speakers, and how that has been, you know, just such a loss for the community. But there is many good items in this book, and I just thank you, Chair, for letting me take the liberty to just draw your attention to that. And I thank the council members for their work, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Story. I would just like to draw the attention of the committee that this was sent to you digitally. Fortunately, it was 80 pages, so we were trying to save some trees. We didn't have that printed out, but if you'd like that, we could have that printed for you as well. Representative Allard, I believe you had a question for Rep. Story.
My question,
sure.
If you don't mind, Chair, to Representative Vance. It was her actual question about the funding side of it, so I'm going to let her do it.
Representative Vance, please.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Story, I'm looking at the fiscal note, and the fiscal note, while moderate, is for the 2 additional members who are members of the legislature. And the funding is general fund from the Department of Community and Economic Development under Community Regional Affairs. Is there a reason that this isn't coming from the legislative budget or from the office, you know, utilizing our office accounts to be able to do this, since it would be members of the legislature? I'm just trying to understand the reasoning. Is this typical for when members of the legislature are appointed to councils that it comes out of these departments' budgets? If you have any insight, that would be helpful.
Thank you. Through the chair, Rep. Vance, I'm not quite sure if I'm understanding, but I, as a council, don't travel, and there's no money for me as a legislature. They've been zooming in basically since I've been a council member, partly the pandemic. They haven't. It was interesting when we got the fiscal note. The council hasn't been traveling in a couple of years. The original budget through the Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development. Partly, this is a community undertaking with all the language experts coming together and trying to revitalize the language. They have a budget to get together once a year, and so this, I think it's twice a year. That is what the cost they figure is for 2 individuals twice a year. And again, you don't know where from the state they're flying in from. And then, of course, to stay somewhere. The council is planning to travel this month to meet post-COVID, their first time in getting together and not being on Zoom for a couple of years, I believe. But that is the reason for 2 new, if this expands, there is a cost to doing that for those new language speakers to get together.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Vance. Are there any other questions? Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Rep. Story and Ms. Miranda Wuerl, for presenting on HB 22 today, and to everyone who provided testimony. HB 26 is held over. Next week, on Monday, March 13th, we will hear public testimony on HB 26. Seeing as we still have quite a bit of time, I guess I would just like to go around the table. I won't call you out, but just afford the opportunity for any of the members, if anyone had comments that they wanted to conclude with. Representative Putkita.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we look to action, I guess want to make it clear that somebody's going to draft the amendment to include the three other languages that were left out, I assume.
Through the chair, if you would like to do the amendment, that's fine. And we would, if anyone would like to carry it, let me know. Otherwise, yes, we'll work on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, through the chair.
Any additional comments? Representative Allard.
I have no problem doing the amendment. We have such an abundance of time on our hands, as you know. But yeah, my office can do it if you'd like. If it makes it a little easier for everybody else, it's no problem. Just let me know. We could do that.
Through the chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. They're going to love me now.
No further comments? Okay. In that case, thank you, everyone, again, for coming this afternoon. The time is 3:58 p.m., and this hearing of House Tribal Affairs is now adjourned.